meditation, one of the scriptures was, Lord, your word I've hid in my heart that I will not sit against you. It's one of those powerful things we could do is to spend time in the word of God. And I want to thank Joey for sharing that with us this morning because, you know, we have always encouraged everybody to pray, but this year we just felt through our time of prayer, you know, the church leadership said we need to start reading through the scriptures together, you know what I mean, and encourage everybody together. We saw how last year, before Easter and then before Christmas, we did those devotionals together. We were reading those devotionals, and I saw how many people really enjoyed reading those, and we said, well, why don't we just read the Word of God in entirety, you know? So then when that suggestion came up, we said, that's what we want to do. So I encourage you to keep on reading. If you haven't been reading, you can start now. If you're not following the plan we're all following, it doesn't matter. Just get into the Word and be in it, meditate in it, read it. Come out to Bible study, come out to service, come out to fellowship night when we talk about the things that we've been sharing together. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. So thank you, Joey, for that encouragement, and keep on reading. Amen? Table set, huh? Yeah, Lord's Supper this morning. Let me just pray real quick before we begin. Father, thank you for this time together, for what we will experience at your table, for the opportunity we have to be gathered together. Forgive us for the times we have forsaken this assembly. Help us to commit to be in your house every opportunity that we have. Help us to encourage others to come together, not only just for a meeting, but to come and to worship together, to be in your house, to be in your presence. And Father, above all these things, as we come together, would you help us to exhort one another to love and good works, that we might do the work you've left us here to do and glorify your name. Now, Father, as we take some time to gather together at your table, help us to remember what this time is about. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, Gloria already said it, but thank you, everybody who came out and helped us clean up yesterday. Your kids going down, babe? Are they going? Okay, yeah. Hey, kids, you can head on downstairs. Thank you. We did. It smells good, looks good. Got like the lights. We finally got the lights in the middle up. I mean, things are looking good, and we want to just continue to thank you for coming out and helping us and coming together. That was the best part of it, just to share with one another, talking together, spending time together. The work's the work. You know, you always could do the work, but just coming together and spending time together is what makes it special. You know, Jesus celebrated a meal with his disciples. You guys know this. You should know this, or you might be learning this for the first time, but I'm going to fix this first. He sat with them right before he would be betrayed, before he would have that time of temptation and suffering in the garden, before they came with him with clubs and swords and, you know, a mob, and before Judas kissed him, before they dragged him away to all those illegitimate trials, but eventually would lead to him being whipped and beaten, eventually would lead to him being sentenced to death on the cross, which would lead to him willingly laying down his life, because remember, he could have stopped it at any time. Laying down his life on the cross, spreading his arms after the humiliation, after the beatings, after the denials, the mockings. Stretched out his arms, took the nails, took the hours on the cross of blood pouring out from all these different orifices that were just man-made orifices in his body. Mm-hmm. struggling to breathe. And then not succumbing to death. He didn't succumb to it. But when it was finished, he didn't have to stay on that cross 1 second longer than was necessary. When the price was paid in full, when he had become sin, and the penalty of that sin was poured out upon him, he said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. He dismissed his spirit. The week started kind of good enough. Hey, Jesus, you're the greatest. We love you. And palm branches and hosannas. And hey, it's so cool. And you know how that turned out, right? A few days later, crucify him, crucify him. So he shared that Passover meal with them. It was the Seder meal, actually, before the Passover. They were remembering the Passover, which was significant to the Jews. To many, it's still significant to them to this day. All reminding them of what? The deliverance, the miraculous deliverance of God when they were slaves in Egypt, crying out in their bondage, no hope. God, have you forgotten us? Where are you, God? 400 years we've been here. What's going on, God? I thought we were your people, blah, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then God answered by sending their deliverer, which is Moses. I think that movie was on last night, wasn't it? Moses. Moses came. Didn't want to come, did he? He didn't want to come, Moses. No, he didn't want to come. Made all the excuses, but he went. And God worked through Moses. All the different plagues. Parted the Red Sea. They came up on the other side, free people, because when Pharaoh chased them into the sea closed down on them. They were free indeed, baby. So they remember that. They celebrate that because God said, you're going to remember this. Take a lamb, roast it, you know, kill it, eat it. Put the blood on the doorposts and the lentils because I'm going to take care of Pharaoh in this final plague and all the firstborn of Egypt will die. But when you put the blood post on the door and the lentils, when the angel of death comes, he will pass over you because I will be with you. And you won't die. They celebrate it. Rightly so. But Jesus, he did something different that night. Oh, they went through the Passover ritual to a degree, but then he said, no, I'm doing something different tonight. Boys, I'm doing something different. He gave fresh meaning to the symbols, the bread and the wine. Jesus ended up taking the first cup of the wine. There was 4 cups in the Passover celebration. He took the 4th, skipped the 2nd, which was the judgment of God, but took the 3rd. Interesting. Because he was instituting something new. What he's going to do for us. And he says something during that time they had together. He says, when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Right? Do it in remembrance of me. Al, would you read the section I gave you nice and loud that we all can hear?
Where you should go and prepare our meal.
Jacob's going to read some additional parts of that account. So he did something different that they didn't expect. He said, there's something here, guys, that was, if you will, instituted way back when, under Moses, but you guys couldn't see it. It was hidden from you. It was and is about deliverance, but not just out of slavery from an earthly sense, but it was ultimate deliverance from the slavery that ensnares all of us, and that's the slavery to sin. Because we're all sinners, and we're all bound in our sin. We're born into, we're born slaves to sin. And not only are we born into it, but we ourselves commit sin anyway. So even if we weren't born into it, we're sinners because we've all sinned, the Bible says. Every one of us. And Jesus says, I've come not just to deal with your temporal slavery, not just to deal with the slavery of this world and this system to kind of give you some help now. He said, I came to deal with something that is eternal. I came to deal with the eternal problem of sin. Because you realize that all of those who were delivered from Egypt, if they did not follow in faith the promise of the Messiah that was coming, all of them, when they died, would die and go into hell. Because there was no remedy in the Passover itself for sin. It was looking forward to the true and the perfect Lamb of God that was come, and that was Jesus. So when John the Baptist rightly shouted out to the people, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is saying, now, guys, let me let you understand, this is what's happening. In this time together, in these elements that we remember everything that went on thousands of years ago, I want you to remember that, but I want you to remember something new, that I've come to deliver you from your sin. Not just temporarily, but eternally. I came to do what a lamb's blood or a ram's blood or a bull's blood or any blood of any animal can never do. That could only just temporarily cover your sin. I've come to wash your sin away, to be dealt with once and for all. That in Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to have the sins that we all committed and our sin nature itself that we're born into because we're all descended from Adam, we have an opportunity for that to be completely reversed. To have our nature changed. Not the sinful nature, but the nature that comes from the righteousness that Jesus Christ would impute into us, to give to us. To have the sins that we all committed, not just covered, but washed away. Gone. As if we never sinned. It's not a free pass, by the way. It's not a free pass. Because he paid for it with the body that was broken, bloodied beyond recognition. The human body that was torn to shreds by his own creation. But you guys know this, as awful as that was, there was the other transaction that took place on the cross, and that's when this sinless Lamb of God, remember, by the way, the animal that was sacrificed back in the Old Testament to cover their sins, that animal didn't do anything wrong, right? He was innocent. He or she was innocent. You know, the animal is innocent. So who came into the world? The sinless, perfect, innocent, if you will, Lamb of God. But when he went to that cross, bloodied and bruised and beaten and nailed, the sinless, perfect Lamb took our sin on himself. And then the other transaction was that he, by the shedding of his blood, paid the penalty in complete fullness for our sin. And every drop of that precious blood was spilled so that all of us who come to faith in Christ and are born again into his family, no matter how many sins we've committed, no matter how many times we had betrayed him, no matter how many times we denied him, no matter how many times we pretended to, you know, that he didn't exist and that we could do things our own way, no matter how many times we maybe murdered somebody or stole from somebody or lied on somebody or blasphemed his name or whatever other wretchedness we did, if we repent and turn away from it, turn to him, that blood washes our sin away. Do this in remembrance of me. Hey, Joyce, would you read the passage I gave you? It's from 1 Corinthians. Every time you eat this bread and you drink of this cup, you're going to show the Lord's death until he comes. That means the Passover was instituted, celebrated year after year after year after year after year after year after year. You remember the great thing I did for you to deliver you from the hand of the Egyptians, to get you out of a place that you could have never escaped on your own, that it had to be me that did it for you. Remember this. Do not forget it. He says, now when you take this cup, when you eat this bread, do something in remembrance of what I've done now for you. And never stop remembering it. Till I come back for you, which he is going to come one day. Keep remembering. Keep remembering. Now think about this a minute. All right. After the first generation or so passed, back in the ones who were delivered from Egypt, the only thing that they could remember were the stories that were told them, right? They weren't there. The generations that weren't alive when they were freed, and eventually people say, well, I'm not a first-hand account. This is what I remember that my mommy told me, that my daddy told me, my grandma told me, grandpa told me, my uncle told me, whatever, right? Okay, and then they were to remember it and tell the stories over and over again and do that. Well, in a similar way, do we have anybody here that's about 2,000 years old? Anybody? No? You may feel like it some mornings. We're not, you know. So we weren't there, were we? In fact, how many were in that room? How many? It's not your question. Up in the upper room, how many were there when they celebrated the Last Supper? 12 and Jesus, and then Judas left, right? Then it'd be 12 of them, right? When he sat and had that supper, right? Yeah. So I began to meditate on this last week, and I meditated on this last week because we had communion in Jersey last week, and we're having communion here this week, and I began to meditate on it last week. I'm thinking, you know, there's a little more significance in to do this in remembrance of me than we might just take it at face value. Yes, read the stories, read your Bibles, read the account. Yes, tell the stories to one another and say, hey, remember what Jesus did? Yes, do all that. But there's something more, I think, significant in that. Because what we all have, even though we weren't there 2,000 years ago, what we all have that the generation that after, you know, the ones that came out of Egypt, those generations didn't have that we have, is that every one of us has a firsthand account and experience with coming to know the Savior. When these words of the body broken and the blood shed, when the words of the gospel and the power of the gospel invaded our life, right? Not just a story. To some, it is just a story. Even those who are very, very zealous in their religion, it is a story because it has not done more for them except to be a story and to something that they may venerate, they may worship, but they've never fully experienced for themselves. But for those of us who had heard that gospel and the Holy Spirit brought it to, made it alive to us, and we saw firsthand our sin, our sinful condition, and we saw the wretchedness, even when we had previously tried to justify it by saying, I'm pretty good. And you probably were from world standards. Now, look, some of you weren't, but that's another story. We won't talk about that. But some of us would justify ourselves, I'm not that bad. I'm okay, I'm decent, you know what I mean? When you finally came and realized, oh, your decency, your self-righteousness, so to speak, was vile and filthiness in the presence of a holy God. When you finally came to that recognition, you said, wait a minute. I'm all that and more. And I'm stuck. I'm stuck in it. I can't get out of it. But I heard news that somebody made a way for me to get out of it. In fact, more than that, somebody made a way for me to become new, brand new. And you said yes. So I'm wondering if we should not take just a few minutes, and this is not the time for your entire testimony that takes an hour and a half. 3 hours, yeah. But maybe a moment or two, if you would, if the Holy Spirit leads you, to say, I remember. And this is what I remember. And I want to share that to encourage somebody today or to bless Jesus today before we come and sit at the table, you know? So that we can together say, I want to do this in remembrance of not only what he did 2,000 years ago, but what he did 20 years ago. 30 years ago, 30 days ago, what he might be doing right now. So anyone, go ahead. That you knew that it was real and that it became yours in that moment. Yeah. And there he was. And then you see, he's real. He's a real Savior. He's mine. And no matter what I've done, he came to save me. Anybody else? Go ahead. Chris, first, I saw you. Praise God. He knew exactly how to get you where he needed you, right? Martha? Amen. Saved and delivered, set free by this wonderful Jesus who pursued you. Go ahead. Jesus saved you just as a time like that when you needed him. Praise God. Go ahead. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Yes, God, bro.
And I was asking the Lord to forgive me because I know I was going to die. There's no way I could survive this. My head was hitting a concrete barrier, thinking about flipping over and getting smashed by another car. And the last thing I remember was riding the motorcycle was winding down. I was riding through like a circle. Finally, it got
Amen.
The marriage is gone. I see my children grow up. But everything's back in my life. My children's family. And, I have a grandson now.
Praise God. But, do this in remembrance of me. Yeah, do this in remembrance of me and what I've done. Yep. And I know there's someone this side. Go ahead, Cindy. Remembrances, right? Yes, we tell. Yeah, go ahead. Praise God. Yep. Now you can't stop. We remember these things, and it's important. These are the stories, the testimonies that came to pass in our life because of what he did. Nothing we've done on ourselves. Yeah, we were all knuckleheads. We all did stupid things, you know. But none of this happened where God would meet us where we are, whether it was on the pavement, whether it was at the bottom of a staircase, whether it was in the military, whether it was, you know, in Carolinas and, you know, after the divorce, whether it was a lifelong of just going through the other stuff, and whatever it is, whether it was in prison, you know. Right? Jesus. When you eat this bread, when you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Now, is that the only time? No. No. But how much more? Because as oft as you eat, as oft as you drink, we take this special time. So I thought it would be good for us to remember today, to share these things. I think what we're going to do now is, where's the worship team? They're all hiding out. I see Jake, I see Joe, here comes Paul. Come on back up, guys. I think we're going to hear a song, listen to a worship song. And then we're going to distribute the elements as they're praying. And I want to thank Charles for making us beautiful homemade matzah. Praise God that we'll be able to share this morning. Because it's representative of the body. Because Jesus took bread that night. He said, "This is my body." He took a cup of wine, and just so you know, it is grape juice in case that's an issue for you. He took the cup. He said, "This is my blood." You guys have a song for us? All right. Let's have the worship team lead us and pray as they play and we sing, and we'll begin to distribute the elements. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Can someone let them know downstairs that we're having communion now, please?
Was a rash, I remember once, I was
Thank you, Jesus. We'd only passed out the bread first, and we're going to focus on the body broken. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks. He thanked his Father. He thanked him for all things. I'm going to thank Jesus today for his great sacrifice for us and his love for us, but then for all other provisions that God makes. Because he not only saved us from our sin, he delivered us. He brought healing into our life and wholeness into our life. He holds us in the palm of his hands. He promised us, as you've heard, he's never going to leave us, never forsake us. He promised that one day he's going to come to take us to where he is and that we will be with him for eternity. He took the bread and he broke it. He said, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How about we sing Nothing But the Blood? No? How about play what you know? Our brothers are going to take the elements now. And as they're doing that, before they play, go ahead, you guys can start distributing. You know, I want to remind us of something. This is about remembrance, amen? You know, all through the scriptures, there's this idea of forgetting what God has done, which then leads us into sin. Right? I pulled a scripture up last week and I've forgotten about it, but I'll read it today. There's so many I could have gone to, but in the Old Testament, it says when the sons of Gideon died, as soon as Gideon died, the Israelites prostituted themselves, worshiping images of Baal. They forgot the Lord their God. They forgot him. The one who saved them, and the one who rescued them, the one who kept them, they forgot him, and they went into sin. But using another Old Testament, there was a prophet of God. His name was Jonah. And Jonah was called to go preach a message of what? Repentance and salvation, right? Deliverance. And he didn't want to do it. So he intentionally forgot God. He made a choice. God, you told me to go there. I'm going to go over here. And he ended up being swallowed up by the fish. You know, the stories we heard, I hope you guys remember, that was the fish. That was the fish in your lives that God prepared for you, to get you to that place where he was going to speak to you and you alone, because he had to take you away from all the other stuff to get you. And listen to what Jonah said as he's in the belly of the fish. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. As my life was slipping away, tumbling down the highway, on the bottom of the staircase, in prison, in isolation, right? In bondage, right? As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. And then my earnest prayer went out to you in the holy temple. Lord Jesus, I believe. Save me from my sin. You died on that cross. Your body was broken for me. I remember now. I want to receive that for myself. We remember what he is. same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Thank you, Jesus. Remember, do not forget, and remember not only to thank him with words, but thank him with your life that he purchased with that precious blood, and be ready and willing at every opportunity to share those stories of testimony and the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone he gives you an opportunity. Amen. Let's stand. I think we have one more song, right? Let's stand.